Do you like the Star Wars? Well, we do too here at the Rancor Pit. We're getting about that time of year where everybody's going back to school. You've got your school-age kiddos and everybody's...
That's right.
We here at the Rancor Pit, I'm, of course, Cole Jedi Cole Houston, and my esteemed colleague here...
Esteemed, wow. I'm so honored to be labeled esteemed.
Yes, indeed. You have reached the level of estimation.
That's good to know. I'm Eddie Medina, and yeah, we're here, and like Cole said, it's about that time of year that the kiddos are going back to school, and...
even the young adults and the adults, and anybody who has anything going on with school teachers and stuff.
Exactly.
And the nice thing is we're going to find Star Wars fans in all of those categories. Everybody of all ages, regardless, as you're going back to school, you're probably not thinking of Star Wars, but Eddie and I aren't going back to school right now, so we are, and then we're here to fill in that gap for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's a good point, Cole, that you brought up, that there are fans not just in the students, but in the teachers. Obviously, Colleen is a big Star Wars fan, and she's a first-grade teacher. She started school last week with the kiddos, and it's always fun to go up there and visit her class, because more often than not, if I'm wearing like a Star Wars t-shirt or something, or if one of the kids has a Star Wars...
I would hope you're wearing something.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's why they don't want me to come back.
There you go. they're kind of sensitive about that.
Just going up in my Tarzan attire. But more often than not, you know, the kids will, that's a good way to connect with the kids, and they'll see my shirt, and, oh, do you like Star Wars too? And they know I'm an artist, so they'll ask me to draw Yoda on the board or draw Darth Vader. So I'll often go into the classroom and try to give them tips to draw like a more simplified Stormtrooper, RTD2, and I tell you what, they eat it up. They just absolutely
It has kind of a Zen feel to it as well, if you're drawing it on the chalkboard.
Yeah. Oh.
Because, you know, it's like the Zen garden. You know that's not going to sustain the test of time, you know.
That's
pretty soon somebody's going to come along and erase it, so enjoy it while you can, kids.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's a lesson in the fleeting nature of things on chalkboards.
And in fact, you know, maybe a lot of listeners don't realize this, but I used to be a teacher myself. I taught art for 9 years. And as you were saying, you know, that about, you know, the fans come in all ages, obviously being such a big Star Wars nut and teaching art, more often than not, you know, when I would sit down with especially the high schoolers and middle schoolers, because I'd always take them to art competitions, and I would talk to them about certain pieces that they wanted to create specifically for the art competition. Kid you not, every year there would be multiple Star Wars. Like, I mean, one kid did this knockout painting of the Emperor 1 year. This other kid did an X-Wing and TIE Fighter duking it out.
Nice.
Just amazed at how you know, Star Wars would very often come up as their subject for their art piece. It cracks me up every year.
I have to admit that I was there myself in high school, little school where I was. Finally, you know, they're out in the sticks, and they finally learned that art could be part of a curriculum.
Imagine that.
Apparently, yeah, you can learn people art, and. So they brought an art teacher in, and bless her, very patient woman, especially to have to try to teach there. I pretty much, looking back at some of the stuff that I produced in that class, it was roughly half and half of Star Wars and Dungeons and Dragons type stuff. And somewhere I still may have some of that. I know I have some of my earlier artwork.
Uh-huh.
And if I can find it, I will use some of that as flavor art for this very episode.
That would be awesome.
I have, I'm pretty sure I still have a picture of a hammerhead being chased by this Gamera-type turtle flying.
Of course,
at it.
Of course.
Yeah, naturally it would be hammerhead because of my strange, I'm a hammerhead head. they call those of us who are obsessed with hammerhead.
God.
Both the shark and the Star Wars cantina guy.
Oh my god.
But you know, seriously, I did a lot of Star Wars art. Star Wars was very influential. Pretty much any of the art that I was trying to do myself, but you know, because I was going on 12 years old. So whatever, you know, I guess coming into junior high perhaps by that point, or I don't know how old you are when you're in whatever grade. So
12 is usually about a seventh grader.
Yeah, so there you go, whatever that is. Yeah. I didn't pay attention. I was there to just make it through. But, you know, it was at a time when I have a very vivid memory of putting together a Star Wars encyclopedia on pieces of typing paper with hand-drawn images of there in the lunchroom, like not eating and busily working, and people would come over and look and feign interest. So
what you're saying is Jeffrey Todd Carlton did not, you know, come up the idea of cataloging Star Wars things in a book of sorts.
I don't even think I had come up with that, but it just seemed like something to do at the time.
Gotcha.
And I did a little section on lightsabers, and I drew, you know, as best I could determine what the shape and configuration of Luke and Vader.
That's true. It would be kind of difficult because it's not like you had a VHS tape readily available, or even
You couldn't like stop the image. You just had to like find pictures in Famous Monsters magazine or something.
And usually they were black and white and kind of grainy and not not focused on the handle itself.
And then I'd remembered seeing something where somebody had pointed out the way lightsabers looked, the way Ralph McQuarrie had done them.
Yeah,
and you really see this in the cover of Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Oh. Yeah.
That kind of blocky sort of thing. So I had even McQuarrie style, because I had to be accurate and comprehensive. This was going to be the Funkin' Wagnalls for poor Star Wars fans. You know, this was the Encyclopedia Galactica Far, Far Away.
Oh, my gosh.
But, thankfully, or perhaps unfortunately, I no longer have. Amongst my life's papers, I actually have stuff that dates way back to the 70s.
Yeah. Didn't it seem like the McQuarrie lightsaber kind of resembled more of like a flashlight handle, but maybe longer? That's what I kind of remember.
It was a bit like those, nowadays they make them, but back then those big police flashlights, it was like six D-cell batteries.
Yes, I guess that's what I was trying to get across.
You could use them as a cudgel if you weren't, you know, during the day. It was basically what they were, was just a baton that doubled as a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it was the opposite, though. It was actually to hit people with.
Yeah.
That's why they made it with that stainless steel, so you could just hose it down afterwards.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it did put you in the mind of those big police flashlights.
That's what I thought I remembered. But yeah, see, for me, it was always exciting, you know, going back to school, especially the summer after each respective movie had come out that previous May, because I wanted to get, like, the school supplies. And believe it or not, the very first, I have a real geek on for for the lunchboxes, even though I don't own one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Lunchbox. I mean,
I'm thinking school supplies earlier, and the lunchbox, for some reason, didn't even pop into my mind.
Well, see, and it's funny because I don't have a single one in my collection, but I aim to eventually rectify that. But, I mean, I remember always wanting the Star Wars one, but I think that year I ended up with the Super Friends or Snoopy or something.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. You could have wound up with that Scotch plaid thing I had for years.
Oh, my gosh!
The old Thermos Scotch pad.
That, yes!
And
oh, my gosh.
I'm not even sure if it's the tartan that I could actually, you know, with any luck, it might have been the actual tartan my family could officially wear. I'll have to look into that.
Oh, that is awesome. I forgot about those. Oh, the poor kids in my class that had those things. But anyway, and even
you might have even seen me at some point. Actually.
I know. Even when Empire came around, I think there was something else that I distinctly remember there was two types of Empire lunchboxes. One was the painted one where it had Han, Leia, and Chewie in the cockpit with 3PO behind them, and then on the flip side was Yoda and Luke and R2.
Yes.
But what I also remember from Empire was the photo lunchboxes. Do you remember those?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, by that time, you're starting to see a lot of photo litho type stuff.
Yeah, and I remember both of them, but I remember zeroing in on the painted lunchboxes.
Oh, I always preferred the painted
ones. Yeah, even though I remember being very almost captivated by the photo one. On the one side was the snow troopers. One of them was firing the big laser cannon, and the others are, you know, moving about in the background. And I remember as a kid that was so striking to me because I had yet to see, you know, you saw the snow troopers in the movie, but to see like a still image like that where you could like really concentrate on the details of their costume and the laser cannon, for some reason that really, really made me obsess over the snowtrooper.
Oh, no, that did. Because the neat thing with that was, unless you were like me and collecting the Topps trading cards, you didn't see a lot of that. And what was unique with that one is that was a shot you didn't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
Because that, like, that one you had like it was like that kind of a fork in the road or in the tunnels.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's
and you see like a couple of them run and like they're trying to go someplace else or they got something better to do. You know. And you got the one guy there just diligently trying to get the hose attached. So they can so, you know, let's get this thing all set up by the manual before we all get blasted into pieces.
Exactly. And
because they didn't last long. They put a lot of work into that, and they got like 2 seconds of screen time.
Exactly. But I was still obsessed by the painted one. But maybe it was sold out, and my parents got me something different. It wasn't until Return of the Jedi that I finally snagged a lunchbox.
Oh.
And, oh, man, and in my opinion, the best one out of all three lunchboxes, because that image of Luke drawing the laser, the blaster with the Gamorreans on one side and the other the other bounty hunters coming up from behind him, Klaatu, and you see Squidface and a Greedo in the background. And that image, especially at that age, was so striking. And,
well,
and
he's got the cloak kind of flowing behind him, heroic like.
They got the forced perspective on the blaster.
Oh, yeah, the forced.
And of course,
forced perspective.
Oh yeah, that was on purpose.
Ah,
yeah. I mean, and even though the flip side wasn't as exciting, it was still pretty neat. You know, he had Vader's, you know, giant mug and the
It was like the giant Vader had invaded, and apparently the Death Star was now being built over Tatooine.
That's the other thing that bugged me. And, of course, they gave it the most boring thermos possible with Wicket the Ewok on it.
Just
dropped the ball at that.
Yes.
But
bad call, Ripley!
Maybe you can help me remember, but it seemed like on the sides, I know on one side was Lando fighting maybe Klaatu or Barada.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, that was the neat thing, is the very first of the very first Star Wars lunchbox, which had the TIE Fighter and X-Wing.
Yeah, yeah.
It had a starfield border.
Yeah.
For some reason, they didn't hit upon doing that bordering, getting a painted image, and on the opposite side it had the sand trooper stopping the land speeder.
Yeah, which was cool because you got a photo and a painting. I thought I remember maybe R2 and 3PO being on the side. Like a painted version of them.
I think that, you know, the more I think about it, I do believe that they later released another one. But
okay.
The very first release, which I believe is the type that I have.
Just the Starfield.
It had just the Starfield. And I remember I hated that. And my own, the one I have now is not my own that I had as a kid, because I hated that fact. And you're right, the later one did have border art, even on the handle side.
That would make sense because, like, as they've re-released the movie in theaters the following years, I guess they would have re-released the lunchboxes, too.
Yeah, I think they probably, you know, people back in those days wrote letters and put them in mailboxes.
Ah!
And made their complaints that way. So perhaps someone had, you know, fielded a comment that, you know, I'm feeling a little stiffed here, guys, because, you know, all these other lunchboxes have stuff on the borders.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I found a picture. The underside of the re-release has the image that was a Topps trading card that was a production still, which you never really got to see, was the sand trooper on the dewback close-up.
Okay. I was thinking I remember there being a dewback on there somewhere. Okay.
But the original one had just a Starfield border, and I remember taking Topps Star Wars stickers and decorating the borders of my lunchbox.
Well, that's a good idea.
Because it was hateful for them to,
to
foist this lunchbox upon unsuspecting children and not give them what they were looking for.
Well, I'm going to do you one better.
And I was also doing a little research on lunchboxes of that period.
Yeah.
And I'm just sincerely hopeful, because you seem pretty well adjusted to me. Uh-huh. I'm guessing more likely you maybe got a $6 million man and perhaps not Holly Hobby.
No, I didn't even realize there was a Holly Hobby one.
No, oh, that was that was like, you know, all the guys who had the plaid lunchbox probably sat next to girls with a Holly Hobby.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
It was just a bizarre dynamic, but what can you do?
Well, you know what? I can do one a little bit better, you know, as far as, like, you know, you were saying it had the boring Starfield on the side.
Oh, yeah, I'd be damned if I was going to live with that.
At least you weren't the kid that got the plastic lunchbox, where it just had the big giant.
Did those plastic lunchboxes?
Yeah, it just had the big sticker, which it was a neat sticker. I mean, it had Vader and R2 and 3PO, but I never knew these existed until I started, like, you know, like I said, I'm trying to like research the lunchboxes in hopes of snagging a couple for my collection. I remember coming across the Canadian release of the Star Wars lunchbox, which was that kind of oddly shaped lunchbox that construction workers would take with them back.
Yeah, you know, what they used to call a pail.
Yeah.
I know exactly the type you're talking about. Lunch pail versus a lunchbox.
Yeah, and I had one that shaped that was a Snoopy and Charlie Brown one. But this
one
there was
a classic old Star Trek one in that shape.
Yeah. Well, this one was, I think they made them in both red and blue, and they had that same sticker of Vader and droids, but it was shrunken down, and then alongside that were three images of, I think, Han and Chewie, a Dewback, and something else. You know, obviously, I'm sure Leia and Luke, because that would be the only other characters you would be missing.
Yeah.
And, of course, it came with the tall, you know, soup thermos that you would sleep in or something. With the little
for the
cup
kids who needed a cup of Joe at lunch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. If you were like, you know, Oliver Twist and you just wanted, you know, stew for lunch or something. But
probably more often than we realize.
So I only owned the Jedi lunchbox. So you said you had Star Wars.
I have an original Star Wars and I have an original Empire Strikes Back. And I think by Empire I was no longer carrying a lunchbox.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a later acquisition. I'm still working on, or at least not to school anyway, but I am still working on getting an original Jedi. And occasionally I'll find a specimen, but they're just like, they're too rusted for display. So
yeah.
I just sort of pass on. And it seems there's a sliding scale. It seems the worse shape it's in, the more valuable people think it is.
Yeah, I don't get why that is.
You run into the wrong people. You know, they get a hold of one, and they probably got it for a quarter, and there's a reason you got it for a quarter. And, you know, you're not going to get $100 for it from anyone.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm assuming you never had the more kid-friendly Return of the Jedi version where it was, again, the plastic lunchbox, but the sticker label. Was,
with Wicket and R2. I remember seeing those things.
I remember it was like more of like that softer, almost like a color pencil illustration that you would almost see like on a greeting card.
Yeah, it was like almost like a pastel. Yeah, like something you would get in the mail as a birthday invitation. Come
yes!
to the party, yup, yup. You know, like, what?
I'm assuming you didn't have that one.
I definitely had that one. No.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I've seen a lot of different, you know, variations on the theme, but, apparently Hogan's Heroes had one of those lunch pail type. That's, you know, kids were flocking to Hogan's Heroes. And also, you know, even though I can't stand it, the Ewoks had a plastic.
Oh, yeah, droids did, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, but again, that
good
was
for them.
That was a little bit further on for me, too, to where I really kind of stopped caring. And wasn't about to have an Ewoks. As much as I, at that time, liked the Ewok made-for-TV movies, I wasn't going to have an Ewok lunchbox.
And on that photographic Empire, the opposite side, the flip side of that box, I think that actually the hasp side, so effectively the top, was the feel like what scene. And that's for those of you who thought I had gas there, that was feel like what. It's hard to tell, I know. But that was an interesting thing, because that should have been the first thing to pop in my head when you're talking about going back to school, was the lunchbox. And the lunchbox was, I mean, that was a market that, you know, a licensing market that got jumped on very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so obvious. I mean, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, Hogan's Heroes had a damn lunchbox. So, you know, why wouldn't Star Wars?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you wanted to, like, one-up Horseshack.
Oh!
Then, you know, what could be better than Planet of the Apes lunchbox? Star Wars lunchbox. I'll tell you that right.
Uh-huh.
Gonna ooh that right to the bank.
Okay, so here I am. It's summertime. We're getting ready to get supplies, and I remember always, and especially by Jedi, because I was a little bit older to where I was, you know, more anxious, more aware of what Star Wars stuff was out there. And I distinctly remember, you know, each of those summers going and just filing through the school, the little folders with the little pockets on the inside.
Oh yes, and the spiral bound.
Spiral bound notebooks, yeah, both of those. I remember just filing through, just looking through, you know, Care Bearers. Okay, I don't want that. You know, He-Man. I don't want that. You know, and Dallas Cowboys. Even though I was a big Cowboys fan, it did not trump Star Wars. So finally, I would come across, like, you know, I remember coming across the Return of the Jedi spiral that had Jabba the Hutt. And again, you know, I was just so goofy for all these things because of the artwork. You know, it wasn't just like they took a picture of Jabba. They actually took the time and paid an artist to do like a painting. And from what I could remember, it's not an illustration that normally popped up here and there and everywhere. It was just almost as if they exclusively had these for just the spirals. Yeah, I mean, I remember getting so excited because I saw the Jabba and Salacious Crumb. I think there was also one of, gosh, I want to say it's like the droids and the Ewok, but it's been so long.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the folder, the binder image was original, and it had Jabba and Salacious on the throne.
Yeah.
And it was accurate right down to having like that red picture window thing, that accent window, and the brazier in the background with the spit of, we guess, maybe Bantha or something on it, cooking away, you know.
Yeah.
Jabba was, you know, trying out for Grill Masters or something. He was,
obviously.
They were definitely cooking up something.
Yeah, I remember, you know, it was so much more exciting to get an original illustration like that than just, again, another photograph that you had already seen, like on, you know, Dynamite Magazine or something.
Dynamite Magazine.
Something, you know.
And talking about going back to school, you know, Dynamite wasn't something you went down to the 7-Eleven or the grocery store to pick up.
Yeah.
Dynamite was something you ordered at school, and your subscription came to you.
Oh, my gosh. In the Scholastic Book Club.
Yes.
Crap, I forgot.
That was a very school-based. I mean, I've been trying to renew my Dynamite subscription for the last 30 years.
You would.
I want to find out who the today's, you know, like, I'm sure you get like One Direction on the cover.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, it was Leif Erikson.
I know. Sadly, the Partridge Family has been replaced by Justin Bieber, sadly enough.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was one of those things. You had Dynamite Magazine. You had that one with Chewbacca and
it's Sean Cassidy.
Sean Cassidy, yes.
Oh, I own that.
The Hardy Boys guy.
I definitely own that. That's it. That's in the collection, and I'm hoping to get that framed and on the wall someday. Hey, I'm rather proud of that acquisition. I snagged it at an antique mall for just a dollar. I was like, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Indeed. Going back 3 years before your Jabba is a folder that I just remember going nuts for, and this is what, like 1980, so there was a folder for Empire Strikes Back, and by then the thing they were really keen on was doing a bunch of photographic images. This was the period where you got things like the space trunk, which was the aluminum, basically a tall rectangular box with a hinged lid.
Yeah.
That was marketed as Space Trunk, or more accurately,
Space
Trunk. And Space Trunk,
because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, Google Empire Strikes Back Space Trunk.
Okay.
And it's about, you know, 12 inches tall by about 6 or 7 inches wide by about 4 inches deep, and it's just sort of a little tall container with a hinged lid, kind of snap shut under its own, you know, in that way, you know, where the lid's just a little bit bigger than the body. You know, it had pictures of, like, Han and Luke and Leia and Lando in one version. I think there were two versions of the space trunk.
Yeah.
And I actually have one at the house that I keep my tea bags in.
Is that there in your kitchen?
Yeah, that's the one in
that's
the space you, trunk.
Sorry to describe it. I was picturing that thing that's in your kitchen.
That
oh, cool. Yes.
Yeah, that was, it was during that period. And the idea was just to have a bunch of photos that were sort of framed off and stylized framing.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was this folder for your school supplies that had different images from The Empire Strikes Back, and it was the only place, because I have looked for them on film, that you saw the characters that would become known as War Kettle, and I can't remember the other one, mm-hmm. but it was a Snaggletooth and one of those cantina guys that looked more like a walrus than Walrus Man.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That,
and
that,
dressed in their blue finery
uh-huh.
from Cloud City.
Oh,
and they actually also appear in a coloring book. The artist has simply taken that image and, you know, just probably a tracer. But, but you know, it's basically just a cartoon, you know, line drawing image of that same pose.
Yeah.
But apparently those characters were out there somewhere in Cloud City, possibly in a scene that got, or a shot that never made it into the final film.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
I know, because it would have added some extra non-humans beyond the
Ugnaughts. Yeah, you didn't have any except the Ugnaughts, and I guess Lobot, he's more of a cyborg, but yeah. at least it was different.
He's just a guy. He just has the Swatch brain on, or whatever that is.
He was just Captain Picard with a fancy headdress.
That's right. What was neat about that is you got to see Space Trunk.
I'm crying. If they ever bring back Space Trunk, they need to hire you as the way you did that at the beginning of the Space Trunk.
Space Trunk.
Yeah, they need to hire you as the voiceover for the commercial.
The voice of Space Trunk. Ooh, exciting.
Oh, God.
Space Trunk. But, you know, that was the neat, because I had to have that, because, like, that's the only place you ever saw, and you're just staring at it. Where were you? Damn you for being on this folder and not in the film and in my head. Even before that, going back 3 years before that, in the late 70s, I had a Star Wars folder. I cannot really remember what was on the front, but I do remember the facing interior pocket. So the right side interior pocket was Star Destroyer.
Hmm.
And I carried that thing around all year long. And at the end of the year, I was not at all thrilled with where I was going to school.
Yeah.
I really spent the better part of my time there not being happy and feeling like an outcast and stuff. And at the end of the year, you know, everybody's going around with their yearbooks that I wasn't going to waste my hard-earned Star Wars buying money on.
Uh-huh.
I had toys to buy, damn it. So, you know, everybody was autographing yearbooks, so I decided, well, I'd just get everybody to autograph the interior of this folder.
Yeah.
And I actually kept it for a couple of years and finally just decided it was ridiculous. But there was this one girl that I thought was just really super hot, and I was too shy to approach anybody on any end of the spectrum of hotness.
Yeah.
And when I gave it to her, she handed it back. I knew she had signed it, and I didn't realize. And I opened the flap, and she had, like, pulled the flap open and written inside the flap.
Oh.
Underneath the Star Destroyer there.
Uh-huh.
And said, you know, something like, to a really neat guy or something like that, and signed her name. And I was like, mm-hmm. Well, shit. After all that shyness, gotcha. But, you know, that was, like, the one bit of Star Wars that I would reveal to all the world during that period, because, you know, there weren't many of us who were Star Wars fans. I had one friend who was just about as gung-ho as he was. But
that's so funny. I guess that's the difference in just a few years in age, because there wasn't a kid in my class that wasn't a Star Wars fan at that point.
I think it was a product of the time period and also where we were.
Yeah.
Because we were out in the sticks and, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and I grew up in Oak Cliff, so basically, you know,
it was
Dallas.
Much more urbane over there. I have to point out that as we were recording this, I look over, and Mrs. Jellicoe was actually frowning at passing.
Oh,
she was frowning in a sympathetic way about about my past. Like, you know, it was, I would be like, how many over a decade and a half, even so much as encountering, crossing paths with her, and she's like all upset about a time when we didn't, wouldn't even known each other. But I just thought she was being very sympathetic. I just want to point out that she was being sympathetic about past Cole.
That's funny. You're talking about the folder. I remember having like a couple of folders. I think one had Ben, one had Luke and Chewie. It seemed like basically what they were like basically big 8.5 by 11 images of just the one, you know, actor.
Yeah.
You know, and with the character. But I remember there being one kid in the class that had something very unique that I'd never saw at Target or anywhere, or Kmart. And that was, he had, his folder had like a collage. And it wasn't anything like uber fancy. It was the same collage repeated front and back, and it was Han, Chewbacca, and Luke, you know, three separate images. And I remember, you know, his folder was getting a little bit beat up, and I think it was, like, splitting down the spine. So he was like, oh, I'm going to throw this away. And he was taking out his papers and put it into, like, a new folder that he got. And I was like, are you really just going to throw that away? He goes, yeah, I don't want it. And so I was like, can I have it? And he was like, what do you want to pull apart? So what I did is I took
it. Don't you understand? It's Star Wars. It doesn't matter the condition.
Yeah. What I did is I took it and I cut the images. So basically they were like oversized trading cards. And I remember, you know, keeping them in my little school supply tub there, you know, just kind of like, I guess as a deck, we weren't really allowed to decorate our desk, but I figured that was the closest I was going to get to having, like, Star Wars decorations on my desk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember, you know, keeping those, and I, you know, really proud of that, you know, because it was something different that I never came across until I saw that kid with one.
And you had a unique, kind of like little, you had your unique cards there to enjoy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was always so cool to go school supply shopping. This, it's not so much school supplies, but it was definitely part of the whole going back to school routine, and that was buying clothes for that year.
Oh,
and
so true, yeah.
I remember, you know, for Star Wars, during the A New Hope era, Vic and I were just so, like, elated because our parents got us each our own Star Wars t-shirt. And you know the image where it's got the Star Wars logo tipped at an angle, at, like, a 90-degree angle. And it's got, like, a photo underneath. I think one of us had Han and Chewie. The other one had R2 and 3PO. I can't remember which of us had which. But that was a big deal because as a kid, that was the only Star Wars shirt I owned. So that was like a big deal to be able to go to school and basically be proud of my fandom.
Yeah, and wear Star Wars out in front of people.
Exactly. And of course, you know, that translated on to the playground. They would look at my shirt and get the idea, let's play Star Wars. And so I always had to be Han Solo, you know, and everyone would pick a character and we'd get all
It's best play. To go ahead and call Han right off the bat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And,
I'm Han for the whole school year.
Pretty much, yeah. I was always Han. And I think by the time Empire came out, I switched over to become Boba Fett. But, you know, of course, we'd get on the play. Yeah, we get on the play equipment, and the play equipment would effectively be the Millennium Falcon. And I remember just recess after recess after recess of just, you know, coming up with our own Star Wars adventures. You know, me and my friends would create these elaborate stories on the playground. And, you know, it's always disheartening to be, you know, for the teacher to call you in to go back inside the class.
Like,
but,
you know, we're just into the middle of the second act here. What are you
I was
doing?
Like, we're trying to save the galaxy here.
You cannot. This is like worse than the end of Empire. You cannot cut it off here.
I was like, the
this is the worst cliffhanger ever. Like, we're going to remember tomorrow where we left off.
We're about to defeat the Empire. Obviously, the teacher is an agent of the
Empire. Of course.
If she's trying to stop us from doing our job.
The teachers were sinister agents.
Exactly.
Yeah, in fact, I was looking around at some
villainy, if you were.
That's right. In fact, I was looking around at some of the old school supplies online, some different images, and I found another notebook, a spiral that I had, which was basically four images from Star Wars.
Yeah.
New Hope, and it was Leia at the medal ceremony, Luke in an X-Wing outfit, Ben with the lightsaber, you can see the Millennium Falcon off in the distance in the background, and the classic Han Solo, thinking about maybe shooting Greedo would be a good idea about now-ish.
Oh, leaning back with his hands up. See, they had those images. If they're the same ones that you're talking about, which I'm sure they are, those are the images they use for the big, you know, single image on other folders.
Yeah, they would often do that. They would have maybe they'd pony up for 6 or 8 images
and just reuse them in different ways.
Like, oh, here, put 2 of them together. There's a new kit.
Yeah.
You know, get your parents to spend their money on that, you little creep. And, you know, interesting, talking about Spiral Brown notebooks, when we were at Celebration 6 a couple of years ago, I wound up getting the card for somebody, and I need to find it, because, like, apparently this person would take the, whenever they could find, like, must have been the best cardboard backers, the actual cards from vintage Star Wars figures, and turn that into the cover of a little spiral-bound notebooks.
Oh, really? Oh, and they would,
with, like, all the tears and all the brown paper.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, where you could tell where the blister had been.
So basically,
it wasn't just like, you know, let's Photoshop this or anything. These are the actual cards that once had a blister on them with a toy in it.
Oh, the actual cards, not just
a lithograph or a Photoshop thing. These were the actual cards, you know.
Oh, I thought maybe they took a scan, a high res scan, and created.
Oh no, this what made it even neater is, I mean,
wow.
I can't help but wonder if you wanted to really spend the money if you could get them to like spiral bind with the figure still attached.
Oh my gosh.
It'd be an annoying thing to use as a practical notebook, but it would be damned cool.
It would be. So
I guess the blister would get a bit in the way of the binding on that one edge there.
Well, you can bind it on the other side and say it's for a left-handed person.
You could say that. You could say that.
Well, you know, I'm left-handed, and there is nothing more annoying than having to use those spiral things because stupid... spiral was always
the and otherwise all of your spirals are, if they have an image, you're upside down.
I hated that. This I do remember now that.
Nor did I realize you were left-handed, so I had to.
Oh yeah.
Retract all my earlier remarks about left-handed people.
That's okay. I'll let it slide. I do. I did come across one as earlier as we were talking.
I'm sure there are listeners thinking, but did he ever say anything about left-handed?
I know.
I don't remember that.
If you're listening to this, it's because we edited it out. And
yeah, it's always constant barrage of things.
Oh, yeah.
I put Eddie in charge of editing, and then I never listened to the finished episode, so I didn't realize he was just excising all that in post-production.
So just use your imagination and imagine the worst of what Cole could have possibly
said. Right. If you've seen the live show, just amp that up a couple of...
I did come across an image, and I wish I had gotten it as a kid, because when Jedi came out, I was just so gaga over the Biker Scouts. And the image was of 2 Biker Scouts on their speeder bikes, you know, going across with the forest in the back.
Oh, yes, I'd seen that.
So, I never came across that one. I definitely would have gone crazy over that. This isn't so much school supplies, but I do remember buying these at the same time because, obviously, Kmart is going to want to sucker you for every, you know, purchase that they can possibly get off of you.
Naturally.
So, as we're getting school supplies and all, I do remember getting Star Wars stickers pretty much every year that, you know, there would be, like, a new movie out. Like,
the nice thing with stickers is you could decorate your book covers or your...
Yeah. I mean, and they weren't required school supplies, but my parents, being the generous people that they were, you know, would always oblige. And I remember Empire, there were the puffy stickers, you know, the little character puffy stickers, if I'm not mistaken. And, of course, if you listen to the Rancor Pit Episode 3, you'll remember when I told the story of, I didn't have to pay for my Return of the Jedi stickers because I won.
He's going to rub that. This is the revenge for bringing up the damn book all the time. Rub that in my face again. Oh, remember my brother and I won stuff because we were still kids and you were a teenager and weren't allowed to even compete?
Please go back to Episode 3 and listen to that story if you're not quite sure. Go back and listen to Episode 3 anyway, because it's an awesome episode.
Oh, it is. It really is, especially if you're a fan of Redbird Mall back in the heyday.
Yeah, definitely. Do you remember the erasers? They were really big during Return of the Jedi.
Oh, well, yeah, because by Jedi, you really had a lot of things you could turn into erasers. And, you know, pencils and erasers were always a good bet. You know, if you wanted to jump on the bandwagon and license something and such is pencils and erasers. And you would always, there were always like, you know, band images that you could put around a pencil. And one of the best was actually not one that you could just go pick up at Kmart or wherever back in the days before Walmart, or, you know, if you went those few years it was around, like you did your back to school shopping at the Treasury, then
wow.
or Mott's, Catherine, or Ben.
Oh, Emmy Moses or Mott's.
Moses, yeah.
Ben Franklin.
There was the Star Wars fan club had a pencil that used the Sunday Morning Funnies Star Wars banner. The Star Wars comic strip.
Yeah.
The very first artist created this banner of all the principal characters.
Oh.
That would be across the top of the strip on the Sunday strip.
Oh, nice.
And
I'm not familiar with that.
Image and put it on a pencil.
Oh, nice, really?
Because it had the characters on either side of the Star Wars logo. And so, you know, when that was available, it was like one of the things you got in your membership kit.
Uh-huh.
And I had, you know, I never sharpened the thing, of course. I still have that. It's in the pencil holder on my desk of time-wasting distractions, which holds precisely 3 workable writing instruments, and the rest are like untouchables.
Yeah.
Like my Star Wars pen that I got at Celebration, which has, it's one of those pens like, the, you know, you have like a San Francisco trolley that moves across or something like that in that space at the top of the pen. And this is Luke in the Bacta tank. So you turn it upside down, he kind of slowly falls down inside the Bacta tank. But the pencil, of course, has never been sharpened. And years later, I wound up acquiring another one. They apparently did it in red and also in blue. So I have 2 versions of the same.
I came across an image finally of what you're talking about—the little Star Wars banner with the characters. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's a neat
image.
Idea.
You got like 3PO trying no or something.
And it's perfect for something like a pencil. So you definitely have to show that to me the next time I'm in the studio.
Yeah, it's really neat. It was like you say, it was perfect for a pencil, and I actually love that guy's artwork. It was really cool. And I remember just a quick aside. One of the earliest releases in that Star Wars series, you know, like a week or two into it, one of the Sunday ones, I think it was, or it may have been just on one of the dailies, and there's this thing where Princess Leia is trying to get somewhere, and she's like, turns into a complete, and I guess in her case, royal bitch, because
yeah.
She tells this person, get out of my way, right now, instantly!
Okay.
Like, wow, they had to throw that instantly in there. Like, yeah, I'm Queen Superior over here.
Well, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is Alderaan PMS is a lot more intense than regular PMS.
Could be, yeah. And so, for the most part, the galaxy was done a tremendous favor when the Death Star homed into view, because it produced by volume.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I will take, I will see your apostle, and I will raise you on.
Oh, I'm crying over here. Oh, man.
Yeah, talking about the erasers.
So when Ben is over there, I feel a great disturbance in the Force. Everybody else is like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
We feel a great relief in the Force.
Yeah, I suddenly feel a lot more comfortable. You know?
Now I can speak my mind.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not cower in fear of the Alderaan PMS syndrome.
Hashtag moist side of the Force.
There you go. no, new hashtag Alderaan PMS.
That's right, new hashtag Alderaan PMS.
Mm. I knew we couldn't go very long before we just completely went off the
deep end. Derailed, but going back to those erasers, though, that was, you know, by Jedi, everybody was jumping on that. You had, like, rubber stamps, and I don't know if you ever had, Catherine asked if they were pencil sharpeners. I don't think anybody ever did a pencil sharpener.
I think.
In this country.
I almost want to say there was, like a little pouch that may have come with pencils and
that's true. There were probably those little things where you'd buy the
the little multi pack,
the crappy eraser with an image on it. Mm-hmm. That was a type of eraser. If you can lithograph an image on there, it's not an eraser.
Yeah,
whatever that material is, it takes artwork great. It erases like crap. It falls apart. Mm. It's just basically a crumbling machine. I think the Egyptians invented that as a joke.
Basically like a dried Play-Doh or something, you know.
Yeah, it was like dry Play-Doh. That's very good. That's what happened to all the factory seconds Play-Doh over.
The little erasers were actually kind of cool. I mean, only because they were flat and the erasers were kind of cut into the shape of whatever character was on it. Like if it was a Jabba, it was in the shape of Jabba.
Yeah, it had the Royal Guard shaped and.
Yeah, Grimorian Guard. But one thing that was cool that I never had, but I guarantee you, as a kid, if I would have had one of these, I would not have used it as an eraser. Were the little Return of the Jedi collectible erasers that were effectively little figurines.
Oh yes, like, absolutely.
And I always thought that those were so cool, but of course they were like 10 times more expensive than the regular.
Oh, naturally, yeah, because those were ones where they had like a whole figural Emperor's Royal Guard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I remember.
So if you use that long enough, it would be like a very slow motion version of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm melting over the course of the entire semester.
My
kid made a lot of mistakes, apparently. He just really wore that guy down to his helmet.
But it seemed like each of the eraser figurines had their own, like, little card. I mean, not trading card, but, like, card like a figure would have, like, the bubble was attached to. So, like, R2 was, like, on a Jabba Salacious Crumb backing.
Oh, so each blister card was different.
Yeah, I'm sorry, blister card. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it wasn't like you had the same blister card for the entire run. Like,
wow, that, no wonder they cost so damn much.
Yeah, Wicket had, like, a little Ewok hut. You know, behind them and stuff. And, but some other racers that they did, which I remember, and I remember these both in the stores. I remember you could also get them like at Showbiz Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese. Were the little
from like your skee ball tickets?
Yeah, yeah, the little prizes. They were like the little character heads, you know, and you would stick the little head basically on the top of your pencil.
Okay, yeah, so you sort of like, you know, bring me the head of Yoda on the spike.
Exactly. And I remember it was never like the
it's
human
sort of
character.
The Game of Thrones meets.
It was never the human characters. It was always like the
because then it would be like hideous. It would truly would be like the Game of Thrones. Like, laid his head, spit it on your pencil.
Yeah.
It's a grim reminder every day of the demise of Alderaan.
Gosh. It was basically a helmet, or in Wicket's case, it was a severed Wicket head.
Yeah, but nobody cared about that. They were happy to see Wicket's head spitted on a pike.
I want someone to maybe research this, because I'm too lazy to research it myself. But I remember one of the Return of the Jedi packets. This is what was very odd, because the other ones always came with specific character heads, and I think they were like stickers or maybe tattoos or something packaged with them, or something. But I remember this one package was so odd, because it had one character head, and they always came with those little golf pencils, you know, the little half pencils.
Oh, yes. Like a useless pencil, like you'd steal from Putt-Putt at the end of the game.
Exactly, the little golf pencils. But what was so odd is I remember they had one Star Wars character eraser, the obligor, whatever, stickers.
Obligatory.
And there you go. But then they had, like, these generic, tiny little generic alien robot things. I can't remember if they're aliens or robots or a mixture of both. It's almost like they had leftovers from some other line but they were like tiny.
Just throw that in there. It's Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have to pay for it.
It was so obvious they got it from leftover as something else that they produced. And to top off the odd, unusual mishmash, you got a football eraser. Somebody please
football erase.
Somebody confirm this, please. Any listeners who can confirm this, I would appreciate it, or like I said, maybe I could do it myself. So you're buying the Star Wars erasers, which came with these generic space erasers, and then a football eraser, which I always thought was, it's like they don't play football in Star Wars.
I've got an answer for you.
Oh, justification time.
Yeah, here's your Jedi justification for this set. You have your Star Wars eraser packaged with a convenient football eraser. So it encourages your young geeks to practice a little bit of sleight of hand. So when the jocks come around while you're, you know, riding
around,
you kind of just sort of run your hand up and switch out. All of a sudden, hey, what are you doing? Oh, hey, all right, yeah. Oh, that I understand.
That has to be one of your best justifications.
That was a good stunt justification there. Yeah, also they just turned into John Goodman in Revenge of the Nerds, you know?
Oh, man, that's funny.
You were a baby. Crib. But
I guess in the Star Wars universe, they wouldn't be called pig skins. They would be called Gamorrean skins.
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting, really.
Yeah. You know, I always got a jab at the Gamorreans.
Oh, naturally, will it?
You know, whether they live in actual pig pens or...
It's like, yeah, the Gamorrean in a poke or... this place is a Gamorrean style. They were constant grunt of ridiculous jokes that no one got because they were all Earth-based.
Uh-huh.
And no one even knew what that was. But, you know, we're talking about, like, apart from the little tiny plastic sharpener you might get in any school supply kit, and more often than not without any relation to Star Wars other than it was in the same bag with all the stuff that had imagery on it. The pencil sharpener was never really done here, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's a pencil sharpener. There's this bizarre European, I think it was an English collectible, that was a Death Star. That was like if the Brady Bunch was the Empire.
Yeah.
Because this Death Star is like, you know, every panel is a different color. It literally...
Oh,
like the,
what?
It's like the Brady Bunch bus crashed.
Oh, I'm looking
Death
at
Star.
It.
Yes.
Oh, you know, like, or like the Partridge Family Death Star.
Oh, that's right, not Brady Bunch. Partridge Family. Yeah, it's like, come on, get happy or die.
Oh, my gosh, I'm looking at it. I have to own that just
Luke,
for the sheer...
Come on, get happy.
Oh, that's
yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, I'm not Brady Bunch. Partridge Family. Yeah. So that's
a pencil sharpener.
That is the Partridge Family Death Star pencil sharpener. Apparently.
Oh my gosh! I got to find that.
Are hard to find, and because they're most of them were just sort of used and trashed. I think it was a pencil sharpener. I could be wrong, but why they felt they had to? I guess it just wasn't lively. You know, gray is such a dull color. As we learned from our friend Sith Joker.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He was complaining about the AT-ATs being rather dull. And it was a good time to point out that we are...
nice callback
still,
to the live show.
Yes, indeed. If you saw the last live show last week, last Sunday, Sith Joker challenged you to...
it's a good challenge.
Yes, it is. Send us an image of your Jokerized AT-ATs. And he will award a favorite, or perhaps the first or only submission we get, with a free 3-day pass to Fan Days in October in Irving, Texas. So, and also, we are still anxiously awaiting our first entry for the Pinecone Rancor.
I know. Come on, guys.
Pipe cleaner. Come on, it's a pinecone. It's pipe cleaners. Can you get it to us? Either one, send your submission photos to jcumail@yahoo.com.
Come on. Somebody out there has got to have the gumption, the drive to want to create a pinecone rancor. I'm going to do one just for the heck of it, even though I'm not eligible.
Yeah, I actually found a pinecone at the house. It's very small, but I think I might be able to fashion something to take to the closing...
Oh, nice.
Event for a galaxy far, far away over in Dallas.
You know, we got to extend the pine cone thing through the holidays because it really is a Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas.
That's true. Maybe
thing.
Depending on where you are, you know, unless you're in the Pacific Northwest, the chances of you finding a pine cone at will might be pretty slim at the moment.
Yeah, or so, East Texas.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you're in Tyler, perhaps, it's just, you know, you can't walk down the street without a barrage of pine cones falling on your head. But most of us are a little hard-pressed this time of year to lay hands on one.
Just real quick, you were right. Over in across the pond in Britain, they did have like a little back-to-school kit that you could buy that had a Star Wars ruler, a little memo pad, a sharpener. And it has two little figurines, Akbar and maybe the Emperor. It's hard to tell what this is. Little figures, I'm imagining they're little character erasers.
It's either Akbar or it's a Ringwraith. Because they just had to Tolkien up everything over there, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Oh, real quick, I knew I was going to forget this, along with the whole going back to school and all, do you remember the bookmarks that came out during that, you know, that era, that Empire Jedi era.
Oh yes, one of the other characters I'm silly for is of course Admiral Akbar.
Yes, there's an Akbar bookmark.
Yes, I have an Akbar bookmark. It's actually on the side of one of the shadow boxes in my studio.
Oh, you got that? Yeah, with unusually his legs seem a little smaller proportion wise than what they should be for the rest of his body.
Yeah, I think he was supposed to be. That's where they got the idea for Hank Hill's father. Was from that very bookmark.
I always thought that they're really neat bookmarks, but they always struck me as almost like cathedral type artwork, cathedral style.
Oh yeah, they're almost like a diptych or something, or like a psalter or something, a classic,
something like out of Last Crusade as he's looking through.
Yeah, like going through an old abbey or something. And
yes, that color pencil, and it's got the backgrounds are very decorative.
They're very stylized, and not in a necessarily Star Wars kind of way.
No, not at all. They could almost be, you tweak them a little bit here and there. They could almost be designs for like stained glass windows or something.
Now that I want. I want a stained glass window done of that Akbar.
Oh, okay. I might do that for you because I actually can do a.
Oh, nice. That would be great.
That's a big cathedral window. That's one of the... Well, it can't get too big, but I might be able to fashion something together for you, because I used to do stained glass stuff as part of art background. But yeah, I mean, that pretty much covers it. There was one story before we close out that I wanted to share. It's a story I always like to remember.
Before we do close out,
I want to
point out that a good friend of the show...
Oh, yes, yes.
Who provided just last week for the live show our own Eddie Medina with a near tear-inspiring gift.
No doubt, because that was an awesome gift.
This awesome Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle weird little foam head ball things. They're like foam balls in the shapes of the heads of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They almost remind you of the annoying orange.
If it was turtles and you did, it wasn't annoying.
Yeah.
But young Mr. T, if I'm not mistaken, has just begun, I think, the fourth grade. I believe he is just now going into the fourth grade. We want to say, good luck, all the best, may the force be with you, and you go out there and show the fourth grade how it's done there, Mr. T.
You do that, Mr. T. Mr. T, who just turned 10 years old.
10 years old, yes.
I believe that would make him about
14. Just shy of a week ago, so congratulations, and from the Rancor Pit. And
definitely.
We'll kind of close out with our final school-related stories. We've talked about some school supplies, some school experiences.
I came across this, and this was a little drawing that I did back in kindergarten, and I had forgotten about it, and I came across it about 15 years ago at my mom's house. So she, obviously it meant enough to her that she actually kept it, because there wasn't a whole lot of other drawings in there, but it was so cool, because what it was I drew Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, and they were fighting, lightsabers. Drew the whole thing in crayon. And I had written a note across the top that saying something to the effect that, I'm so excited. After school, my parents are taking me to go buy my first Star Wars figures.
Wow.
Yeah.
You actually archived
the event, yeah. So it was that big of a deal to me that I actually drew a picture. And it's really neat to think, because it got me thinking about all those weekends. And, my family came from just a modest, means or whatever. We didn't grow up with a ton of money, but we had enough to... They would do what they can to, reward us for doing chores by taking us to go get figures. So when I saw that drawing, it really brought back a lot of memories of Mom and Dad taking Vic and I, and even later on, Michael, our younger brother, when he was old enough, on the weekends to go hunting down the figures. And Cole, you talked about it with your dad on the live show this past week. And it just, that one picture just immediately brought these good memories. And I think that reinforces why I have such a love for Star Wars, because it's of course it's about the movies and the characters, but it's more about the memories attached to it, you know, the good times you have with your friends on the playground, or, you know, my parents caring enough to just have the patience to drive us around to Best and Kmart and everywhere trying to get that one figure that we really wanted but couldn't find. And, of course, both my parents have since passed. So thinking about that drawing and thinking about those memories of them always, you know, being so patient and supportive, really, of our fandom, our Star Wars fandom, Vic and I, it really means a lot. It really, you know, it brings back all those good memories of the type of parents that they were. And I'm sure, Cole, you have memories.
Oh, yeah. That's why it was just such a treat to have my dad on the last live show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to have the surreal experience of my dad meeting the Sith Joker. And nothing can surpass that. But, you know, there are just, to the point that you're making about, you know, being about all the memories and all the experiences, and to each of us who are really big Star Wars fans to any degree, there are always those little personal moments, those little pinpoints you can look at and say, you know, this was Star Wars that was uniquely to me. And, you know, for me, another to kind of harken back to the old school days, my senior year in high school, or was it my junior year, I guess going, must have been summer of my junior year, would have been 1983. Of course, the Return of the Jedi was coming out, and it opened right around the time that finals were going on out where we were, and I had actually graded out of a couple of finals. They were sophisticated enough out in the sticks that you could just, you know, if you didn't have a finals during finals week, you're in the wind if you're old enough to, you know, have a set of wheels. And so those of us who could, all the brainiacs apparently, just
yeah.
Looking back, I guess, you know, I was probably like the low end of the smart kids. Smart enough to have comped out of enough classes where I was.
Oh, man.
I was out the door. And, you know, those of us who could, we all went down to Redbird Mall.
Yeah.
To that new theater, the six screener that had been built.
Oh, yeah.
A few years earlier to expand their capacity to 10 screens between the two buildings. We're all hanging out, getting in line for Return of the Jedi. We're probably like 12th through whatever in line. And meanwhile, those who were stuck at school were literally, some people were actually brought by a parent to join us with the express promise that we would return their children after the show in our various vehicles, those of us who were drivers. So we sort of divvied up the non-driving kids.
Oh, funny.
Got them all home afterward, but we all went to see the opening day at Redbird Mall for Return of the Jedi.
At the 5 through 10, huh?
At the 5 through 10, yeah. And a friend of mine actually, while we were all stuck there waiting, because we didn't have the foresight like this one guy to have it bring a chair. Mm-hmm. You know, we may have been smart enough to get out of our finals, but we sure as hell weren't smart enough to bring a damn chair with us. He wandered.
Well, that book smart, not street smart.
That's right. And speaking of book smart, he wandered across the parking lot there on into the mall and returned from B. Dalton with a copy of Return of the Jedi and was threatened under pain of death not to read anything out of it to us.
I know, that would have been horrible to spoil it right there so close.
I was still stinging from that Empire Strikes Back comic I had under the bed 3 years earlier.
Uh-huh. I love that story. I would
hear that story as well. So
uh-huh.
Yeah, that, again, was one of those sort of areas where Star Wars fandom and the school years sort of meshed rather beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
And another fond memory along those lines.
This has been a good trip down memory lane.
It's like we're going back to school. And not in that nightmarish way where you, you know, wake up in a cold sweat and realize, no, you haven't missed finals. And you haven't been wandering around in your underwear at school all day. It was just a dream. But no, this was much more fun.
When you said back to school and nightmarish, I thought you were going to invoke the Rodney Dangerfield movie or something.
Well, that was a nightmarish movie back to school. But, yeah, ouch.
Oh, goodness.
So with that, I imagine we should probably go ahead and close things down a bit. Eddie, where can we find your art? Because you're going to be like a very busy artist here.
Oh, yeah, coming up. If you're following me on Facebook, I try to post all the updates there. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/eddie.edmedart, or you can go to eddiemedina.com. I'm going to be, obviously, by the time you hear this, it would be over, but I would have been part of the Galaxy Far, Far Away art show through with Art Love Magic. I'm going to be coming to Dallas Comic Con Fan Days in October, so I'll be there doing that. I'll be at the North Texas Comic Book Show, I believe. Cole, is it November 15th?
That sounds right. I will confirm that while we go.
I'm also going to be at the Burleson Anime Fest, I believe it's called. The Burleson Library, a good friend of the show, Starman Morrison, is putting on an anime fest there with the Burleson Library, and I'll be there as one of the guest artists, along with, I believe, Terry and Halo from Shownuff Studios.
Shownuff Studios, yes.
Kristen McGuire, artist extraordinaire. She has her own manga, and she also is a voice actress for one of the anime shows on TV. It escapes me which one she's on. A very talented individual, so they'll be there.
Absolutely. Burleson Anime and Manga Festival is November 8th, and the immediately following week, North Texas Comic Book Show over at the Doubletree Hotel in Dallas is on the 15th.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get my schedule clear, but for sure Cole will be at the grand opening celebration of the new shop in Carrollton Galaxy called Dallas. And what's the date for that, Cole?
I believe that that is going to be September 13th.
I thought it was the 13th.
Yes, I believe it is September 13th, Saturday, September 13th, A Galaxy Call Dallas in Garland, Texas, and we'll have some information on that. I will definitely be there for their grand opening celebration. James's shop is open and running, and they're having a big grand opening gala.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be there representing the Jedi Cole universe, and I think, Eddie, we're going to try to, if we can both get there, do some a live recording for the JCU.
I'm trying my best to clear my schedule. I have an art. I should plug this, too. It's called the Tree of Life Art Festival. It's with an Episcopal church over on Oaklawn Avenue. It's through a fellow artist, Harmony Witte, and she's putting on the event. I've been a part of it in the past. It's a really neat event the church puts on. They raise funds for their youth group to go to their summer camp. So I'm going to be doing some live art out there. That's also on the 13th, the same day as James's grand opening show. So you can go to James's grand opening at the store morning and afternoon, and then after 6, 7 o'clock, whenever it starts, you can come by and visit the Tree of Life Arts Festival.
Excellent. Also on the 13th, Andrew Farmer and I will be premiering Hey Kids Comics Live on Deep Ellum, the home of Rancor Pit Live.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah, second Saturday of every month, you can catch us for some exciting comic book excitement.
This is big news, because not only am I just, as a fan of Hey Kids Comics, I have been a fan way before I was part of the JCU. I cannot tell you, I mean, it's definitely one of my top two all-time favorite podcasts to listen to. It's exciting as a fan to hear that y'all are getting a live show. But as a member of the JCU, it's exciting because the JCU actually has two shows now with the Deep Ellum On Air Network.
Yeah, and that is just amazing.
Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing that we have two JCU shows now to brag about on a live internet radio program. It's mind-blowing and exciting. I'm so happy for y'all.
We are just honored to be a part of Deep Ellum On Air and to have been allowed to bring yet another of these crazy shows that I do.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about anything, write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com, especially if you're going to submit your art for our various arts and crafts projects we have going. And in the meantime, you will occasionally see tweets from me. I'm going to try to pick that back up again on Twitter. At the Jedi Cole U is where you can find me on Twitter if you want to follow that. Jedi Cole Universe is, of course, at JediCole.com. And if you want to know more, see some more information about the shows that were mentioned coming up in November, or indeed in September, October, and December, visit Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com for all conventions in the great state of Texas all year long. Click on the name of the convention and you'll get more information about them by going straight to their website. And with that, I think, Eddie, we should probably say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
And good luck to everybody going back to school. Have fun. Learn something. and we will see you here again in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense.